A week from tomorrow, the new Charles H. Coolidge National Medal of Honor Heritage Center opens its doors here in Chattanooga. The opening exhibit will feature a large collection of medals and stories about their recipients. Keith Hardison is the center's executive director. Keith, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us on the program.
Well, the time has come for the Medal of Honor Center, named for Charles Coolidge.
Absolutely. Our ship has finally come in, as they would say.
Took a long road to get there.
It was a very challenging road, but I think the fact that we did it, and did it particularly in the short time that was allotted, I think speaks volumes not only for the project, but for the community that supported it.
And for people who hear the name Charles Coolidge,
Yes. But
they don't know the history, especially people who are new to Chattanooga, they don't know the history. Tell us a little more about Charles Coolidge.
Well, Charles Coolidge was a technical sergeant in World War II. He served in North Africa, served in Italy, served in France and Germany. As he likes to tell the story, that he walked 1,200 miles, fighting pretty much all the way. So he was in combat a lot, and his claim to fame occurred in the fall of 1944.
Near the end of World War II.
Right. When he, with what was largely a green company, new recruits, was ordered to hold the line on a particular hill near the French-German border. They were significantly outnumbered, and Mr. Coolidge was the ranking officer, all the rest being killed or wounded. And they were attacked over a period of several days by a unit that outnumbered them 4-1, backed by tanks. One point in the engagement, of course, there was a parley about surrender initiated by Mr. Coolidge, and a couple of Germans met he and another sergeant in the unit between the lines, and much to the astonishment of the Germans, Coolidge, outnumbered 4-1, asked if they wanted to surrender. And, of course, they did not, were insulted by that. So the battle raged. Coolidge and his men were attacked multiple times. They eventually brought up two German tanks. Mr. Coolidge got within 25 yards of that tank. Turret pops open. German officer, head pops out. He speaks perfect English. And he says, "Mac, you want to surrender?" To which Mr. Coolidge answered, "Well, bud, I guess you're just going to have to come and get us." And then the tank and Mr. Coolidge played a sort of pinball. Mr. Coolidge said, "When I saw the turret go to the right, I ran to the left," and vice versa. He was shot at 5 times directly by the tank. Each one missed, and they held their position for 3.5 days until they were directed to withdraw the line.
And for that, he was awarded the Medal of Honor.
He received the Medal of Honor. In an unusual twist, most individuals who were awarded the medal were taken out of combat, usually brought to Washington, and the president awarded the medal. I guess they forgot Mr. Coolidge because he was still in combat, and then the Army realized he had not been withdrawn, and so they sent General Hazelip on a puddle jumper plane to go into a bombed-out German airfield to present the medal. He and Mr. Coolidge did a full regimental review. We have the tape. We have the film of that, which is very, very unusual to have film of an in-theater presentation of a Medal of Honor, and that'll be part of the exhibit.
Chattanooga's connection to the Medal of Honor predates Charles Coolidge.
Oh, yes. Really, the level of connection between Chattanooga and the Medal of Honor is totally astonishing at different periods in history. But what many people don't know is that Chattanooga is the birthplace of the Medal of Honor. It was created by the Union Army and the Civil War. The first award was in 1863 to the Andrews Raiders. Most people know that as the Great Locomotive Chase that ended near Ringgold, Georgia. The first 4 medals were awarded to members of that raid. Ultimately, an additional 15 were awarded, and they managed, because of transfers and paperwork issues, to miss 2 more. The paperwork is now in Washington for those gentlemen by the name of Shadrach and Wilson to receive those honors as well. But then, in addition to those 19, in 1863, within 25 miles of where we're sitting, another 33 medal actions occurred in combat at Wehatchee, Lookout Mountain, Chickamauga, Ringgold Gap, Missionary Ridge, And literally, there is no place in America, and I doubt in the world, but certainly not in America, where there are that concentration of medals of honor awarded in that period of time. It's just absolutely astonishing. And then on top of that, you have a sort of later influx. For instance, you've got Charles Coolidge. You have Desmond Doss, who wasn't born in Chattanooga. He got here as quick as he could, spent several years of his life here. You also have General Gillespie, who was born in Kingsport, enlisted in the Army here during the Civil War, and he redesigned the Army Medal around turn of the century. So the Army Medal was redesigned by a Tennessean with Chattanooga ties. In addition to that, you have people like Paul Huff, first paratrooper to receive the Medal of Honor. He was from Cleveland. And I should say Desmond Doss was the first conscientious objector to receive the Medal of Honor. He wanted to serve his country because of some things in his life and some promises he made. He refused to carry a gun, and he had to fight for his constitutional right to serve against an enemy without being armed. He won that fight and then astonished people on Okinawa at a little place that most folks know from a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. And unarmed, Desmond Doss, well, the Army says 75 men. Doss wasn't keeping up and said it was probably less, but he was a little busy on that ridge for several days. There is research that has been done that indicates that he may have actually assisted 232 men over a period of multiple days. Again, all without a gun, and saying as he would rescue each one and send them by a rope line down the ridge to a field hospital, he would say, "Lord, let me help just one more." And again, "Lord, just let me help one more." You've got people like that. You've got Ray Duke from Whitwell. You've got Ray Cooley, an amazing array of Medal of Honor recipients that came after the first batch and had some connection with the Chattanooga area being home, and then seven Medal of Honor recipients being buried in the Chattanooga National Cemetery. This is just really astounding, and when people ask me why Chattanooga, and I share this information with them, then I ask them a question, is there anywhere else in the United States that this could be done? And of course, they're totally astounded, and the answer is no. There is no place like Chattanooga in terms of Medal of Honor history, depth, and breadth of what it means. So I like to refer to Chattanooga, and I would love for this to catch on, but we're the birthplace of the Medal of Honor, so we are the home of heroes. We're a very patriotic community, a lot of military retirees. We have this rich military history, and we have this amazing Medal of Honor history. So it is a very unique place.
And we've read a number of profiles in just the past weeks of African-American Medal of Honor winners.
Yes, absolutely. There were, I believe, 88 Medal of Honor recipients, African-American, starting with the Civil War on up to present time. We have one of those, Melvin Morris, who is on our honorary board. We now have 8 Medal of Honor recipients on the board. In addition, we have an interesting individual from Tennessee, wasn't from Chattanooga, but he was from Williamson County, just below Nashville. At the end of the Civil War, as a young man, he decided to enlist in the Union Army, served in the infantry, then joined the cavalry, became a member of Company K of the 9th U.S. Cavalry. It's one of two units that were known as Buffalo Soldiers. People have varying explanations of why African-American units were called Buffalo Soldiers, but the real reason is that the United States military formed 4 cavalry regiments, 2 white, 2 African-American. They sent the white regiments to the northern plains and the African-American regiments to the southern plains. And obviously, not being real climatologically savvy, said, "Well, it's desert. It never gets cold in the desert. They don't need overcoats." Obviously, they'd never been to the desert. It snows in the desert. It gets cold at night. And so African-American troops were forced to kill buffalo and make coats and hats and gloves out of them. So the Indians called them the soldiers who used the buffalo, so they were buffalo soldiers, 9th and 10th Cav. So we tell the story of George Jordan, and in our unique exhibits, you're going to round a corner, and he's hard charging on his horse right at you as if you were the Apaches that he chased in the Southwest, was told on one occasion when he was leading a patrol of men through that the area was infested with Indians and that he should turn back for his own safety. He was told that by a Mexican Army officer. Their unit had crossed the border, and he said, well, I've been given an order to reach this area, and I am going to reach this area, dangerous or not. That's my paraphrase of it. But he was nominated twice to receive the Medal of Honor, received it once. And that is an interesting story in that when we talk about Medal of Honor recipients and their character traits, one of them is patriotism, another is citizenship. Well, here was a man who was denied full citizenship rights, still went out and served his country, and did so in a rather amazing manner. So that's just some of the stories we tell, and we look for a situation that our approach is not, we've got lots and lots of good stuff, come see it. Now, we have some very prime artifacts, don't get me wrong, but our focus is come be a part of their stories. Learn what makes them tick. There's six character traits that studies have indicated that pretty well characterize all the Medal of Honor recipients. And incidentally, Medals of Honor are rare. If you take the total number of folks who have served in the American military between its inception during the Civil War and the current time, the average is, in very rough terms, about 1 in 1 million in terms of receiving the Medal of Honor. World War II, you had a little over 400. And we mentioned Charles Coolidge. He is one of two that is left from World War II recipients, and he's the oldest at 98 years and counting.
Still in this area.
Still in this area, Signal Mountain, and we hope to be able to see him at the opening ceremony, in which that would be a very unique thing because Kyle Carpenter, who has a new book out, who fought the Taliban and received a Medal of Honor in Afghanistan, is going to be there too, and so he's 30, so we would have the oldest and the youngest at the same place at the same time, separated by only 68 years. So we have a remarkable slate of remarkable exhibits, remarkable amount of people who are coming, slate of activities, etc.
And where can people go online for more information?
The best place to go is our new website, www.mohhc, for Medal of Honor Heritage Center.org.
All right, Keith. Thanks so much.
Thank you.